Yo, that's a pretty loud bell, yo. Welcome back.
Very dingy.
Final segment of Crunch Time on a Wednesday. That means the Crunch Exchange. I'm going to give Steve some stories from around the world of sports, mostly Oregon-related this week, and he's going to tell me if he's buying or selling the prospectus involved. There's also a pending option. There's also a pending option, which he has used quite a bit recently, almost out of spite.
Because I'm lazy, don't want to make a decision.
I feel like it's almost out of spite, just because I bring up that you used to never use it. Anyway, we could see a couple of firsts in a long time for Oregon. First time in a long time, the quarterback was benched for performance, and the first time in a long time, a true freshman has started for the Ducks in a game at that position, because one report out of 24/7 Sports by Justin Hopkins said that Oregon will go with Justin Herbert, who last started for the Sheldon Irish in Providence Park in Portland when they lost a Jesuit in last year's semifinals 10 months ago. They're going to start him over Dakota Prukop when the Ducks host the Huskies on Saturday. Oregon released its depth chart yesterday, likely gave us another example of the fact that their depth charts are packs of lies by putting Prukop as the starter. You'll remember they listed and announced Royce Freeman as the starter against Colorado. He never took a snap. Now, beyond the uncertainty that Herbert will start, he start? Bold-faced liars. The Huskies have the best defense in the world, and they're smelling blood this week. Prukop seems to be at the bottom of the list of why Oregon isn't playing well, but the prospectus, Oregon, now 2-3 on the season, should go with Herbert over Prukop.
I don't know if he's at the bottom. The offense is
towards the bottom.
Critical to what happens up and down this program. So what was the question again?
Oregon now 2-3 on the year, should go with Herbert over Prukop. You could almost take the Huskies out of the equation.
I don't think I can because of how good their defense is. I don't believe that if you start a freshman against Alabama or a great team and he struggles, that's going to derail his career. It's one game. Young people are incredibly resilient with a huge bounce back ability factor. I don't think it's happening. They need a spark. If it was on me, I would have told Herbert on Monday he's starting, get his head ready all week and run him out there. I'm buying it.
Some people behind the scenes have said that he was told on Sunday that he is going to start.
Yeah, but we know those people.
Yeah, we'll see. Husky Hate Week has taken a pretty odd tone this week. Usually there's a whole bunch of trash talk and arrogance from Oregon's fans leading up to kickoff, but I have seen none of that anywhere. This is the first time in over a decade that Washington is a clear-cut favorite, and Oregon is frankly playing like one of the worst teams in the conference right now. On paper, this is a blowout by the Huskies, but 12 years of wins can sometimes weigh heavy on a team, and it's not like Oregon is devoid of talent or anything. They just lost a couple of close games in the final minutes and got boat raced for the second time in a row by a not very good Cougs team. It's clear at least Oregon's alumni are putting the entire season on this game. Some of the coaches have been saying this week that Oregon's streak will not end this year. Pretty bold, if not insane stuff there. But the prospectus, Oregon's 12-game win streak against the Huskies ends this Saturday.
By the way, any Oregon fan chime in this week. I mean, what you're asking for is to be publicly humiliated.
Yeah,
I've gone through this in my mind.
You're asking for the favorite to save or to save it for later.
Here's the only reason I have hope for this game. Washington looked like another team. They look like a different team in one game this year, and it was on the road. And I don't know how good Arizona is. I think they're thin defensively. They didn't have Anu Solomon, and it went to overtime. That's the glimmer of hope. But if it comes down to, look, Steve, you got to pick a winner, I'm buying what you just said.
One more Oregon one. They are 2-3 now, and they just lost games to two of the worst teams in the Pac-12. There is not a game left on their schedule, probably OSU included, that is a sure win for them. Not only are the prospects of a conference title dead, but now we're talking about Oregon possibly not even becoming bowl eligible this season. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Or have they? Oregon has 7 games left, and they need to win 4 to make a bowl. The prospectus, Oregon makes a bowl this season.
Oy vey.
Hard hitting stuff.
That is a tough one. I got to tell you the truth. We're gonna be sitting next to each other. Ask me this at halftime.
I know, this might be a good pending
I'm going to do pending, and I'm going to say we're going to do the rare crunch time, crunch exchange halftime on Saturday.
Ted, my boy, it's going to be legend. Wait for it.
So listen for the post-game show, and Steve will announce his pick.
Or
for the
follow
crunch
us
exchange.
On Twitter.
Yeah. How about some Oregon basketball? The Ducks men's team has media day tomorrow and are about to head into the season with the most hype the program has ever had. ESPN wrote an article that said, with a healthy Dylan Brooks, that Oregon can crash the party and win a national title this season. Aaron Fentress said they're going to go win, or they're not going to lose a game. So, I mean, whatever. Of course, Dylan Brooks had surgery on his foot, and we're not sure his status for this season. It's assumed that he'll at least miss Oregon's preseason slate, which includes Baylor, Georgetown, UNLV. But even without him, the Ducks are stacked, returning everyone but Elgin Cook, Dwayne Benjamin, Max Heller, and Kendall Small from a team that went to the Elite Eight and beat Duke. To offset that, they added 3 4-star recruits and 2 JC transfers, one of which was the JC Player of the Year last season. So maybe they deserve the hype. The prospectus: Oregon should be the favorite to win the conference and is a legit national title contender this season.
Yeah, I don't even think there's a doubt. I mean, look what they did last year. I think they'll be better. And I do agree, from what I've read and from what the coaches said, tone, read between the lines, I think Dylan Brooks ends up a part of this team. I'm a buyer.
On to baseball for the last two. Blue Jays beat the Orioles in that walk-off yesterday. Edwin Encarnacion absolutely obliterated the first pitch he saw from Ubaldo Jimenez into the left field stands, where the drunk morons who sit in those bleachers were sitting. I say that because earlier in the game, there was a fly ball to the warning track that was caught by Orioles left fielder Hyunsoo Kim, in which he had to duck out of the way to avoid a full and open beer can that was thrown at his head by a fan in those bleachers. Adam Jones tried to kill someone. Buck Showalter put a halt to the game for a few minutes to talk to the umps. This is not the first time this has happened in Toronto. 4 years ago, an ump was hit by a beer, and the Orioles' Nate McClouth almost hit with a full can of beer from those same left field stands 3 years ago. Last year, they protested a bad call by throwing trash on the field, and a baby was hit with a beer can. There's a theme here. Fans at the Rogers Center like to throw beer cans on the field, and it needs to stop before someone really gets hurt. The prospectus: Major League Baseball needs to step in and control the alcohol sales in Toronto.
Well, they need to do something. I mean, as a matter of, they'll probably let it go for one more game and hope there's not an incident. But, somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to get killed. I'm going to go buy that one.
You're just throwing around Tannen's money today. I like the way this is going, right, Nick? Giants and Mets in the NL wildcard tonight. Thor versus Mad Bum. Pitching matchups aren't going to get much better than this. Syndergaard has a better ERA this season, but Bumgarner, one of the best big game lefties in the business. 14 career playoff appearances, 12 of which were starts, 7-3, 2.14 ERA with a 5.13 strikeout to walk ratio. On top of facing him, the Mets have been decimated by injuries this year. Steven Matz, Jake DeGrom, Matt Harvey, David Wright, Neil Walker. Those aren't just big names. Those are three starting rotation guys, the veteran leader, and starting middle infielder, one of the best hitters on your team. This one screams Giants win, but it is the baseball postseason where one bad game means you go home, and the Giants have had a horrible second half to the season. The prospectus: the Giants win tonight, keep their even-numbered year streak alive.
So here's the actual deal, because of the whole on-the-road thing. Bumgarner has never lost a game on the road in the playoffs.
Isn't that unreal?
His ERA is 0.7.
0.7.
I just think the Mets they look like a team on borrowed time. It's as simple as that. And by the way, the theory you kicked in is so baseball. You have the Braves could play Bumgarner tonight and somehow win the stupid game. So I'm going with Frisco. I think that I like them to win the game. It's as simple as that. So I'll buy that.